Can we please get settled? I would firstly like to apologize to those who were not aware that the meeting starts at 10. If the notice that you got said 9:30, which was actually the meeting between the committee and the researchers, I wish to extend my apology. And let me welcome everyone into this meeting, honorable members, deputy minister and her delegation, the acting DG. You are very much welcome into this meeting this morning, where we will be getting a briefing from the department on the United Convention, on the country's report on the rights of children and the rights of people with disability. Without wasting any time, I will go straight then to give the department the opportunity to brief us. Over to you, Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So, thank you very much, Chairperson and honourable members. Good morning. Thank you very much, Chair, for the invitation and for awarding the department an opportunity to brief the portfolio committee on the conditions. Firstly, allow me to sincerely apologize to the portfolio committee for receiving the documentation late. It was indeed late for the mere reason that compliments of the Child Protection Week, we got sucked up and we actually missed the deadline to give the officials an opportunity, because we normally try to say they need to clear presentations that go to Parliament with ourselves. And somehow in the middle of that, our admin, I thought she gave, the minister gave, and she thought I did. And the officials thought the DG did. So it's our own administrative issues, and we want to promise the committee it won't be happening again. And we sincerely request and humbly request the committee to accept our apologies. We will make sure we get our systems in order so that we don't cause any inconvenience whatsoever to the members. As the Chair has said, that we felt that as a department, as we've always said, we carry the biggest burden of the international obligations of the Republic, and today the committee only requested us to talk about children. We, Chair, did not bring in all the conventions. We actually, because it was about country reports, we focused only on those ones whom we have challenges and also who we are due for reporting. As said, that the progress, we would like to report on the progress made in finalizing the following country reports. With the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, and then the Optional Protocol on the State of Children, Child Prostitution and Child Pornography, the Optional Protocol on Children Involved in Armed Conflict, the Periodic Country Report and Optional Protocol on the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, the Committee on the Rights of the Child, and then the Committee of Experts on the African Charter on the Rights of the African Child, and then the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. And that, Chair, is not even a quarter of our international obligations. The UN Convention on the Rights of the Child and its optional protocol, we want to share with the committee our implementation highlights, the drafting process, and where we are. And we'll follow the exact same process in terms of the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, where we'll look at the implementation highlights, the drafting process, as well as the deadlines on when we will deposit the first country report. will highlight the challenges and the weaknesses in the system that poses some of the challenges that I will raise in the presentation, and will make a number of concluding and a number of recommendations. Allow me, Chair, to indicate that the Convention on the Rights of the Child, which we signed and ratified in 1995, we managed to meet the deadline of submitting the first country report, which we deposited in 1997, as it is international law that once you've ratified an international instrument, you need to submit the baseline country report 2 years immediately thereafter. We have managed as a country to do that with regards to children. Unfortunately, immediately after you have submitted your two-year country report, the country is obligated to send updates 5 years periodically. Allow me, Chair, to upfront indicate that we have failed as a country to submit the second country report on children in 2002. So we're making this presentation and that country report is overdue. The third country report on children was also due in 2007. And unfortunately, we also come in this morning, that country report is still outstanding. And the fourth country report is due in 2013. and what we did because in 2002, the Office on the Rights of the Child, which was based in the presidency, and I know, Chair, because I was the chairperson in Parliament of the committee, the Joint Monitoring Committee, was unable to finalize the country report then. Once again, also, the Office on the Rights of the Child in the presidency also was unable to finalize the 2007 report. As the department get established, those reports were picked up and we're in the process of trying to finalize. I'll get back to what are we doing to actually try and catch up. The second one is the optional protocol on the sale of children, child prostitution, and child pornography. We ratified that convention in 2003, and since we ratified that convention, Chair, we have not met any of its obligations. The first report was due 2 years later in 2005. That report is still outstanding, and all the other subsequent five-year periodical reports, we have never complied with that particular convention. The optional protocol on children involved in armed conflict, we ratified that convention in 2009, and the periodical two-year report, as I said earlier, was due in 2011, and I'm saying that report is still outstanding, unfortunately, Chairperson. The UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, that convention was open for signatures in 2007, and the condition of that convention was that it will only come into operation when 20 or more countries have signed and ratified it. And it came into effect in 2008, but unfortunately for South Africa, we signed in 2007, right, as the first country. And our first country report was due in May. And we're coming this morning, that report is overdue, Chairperson, and the second report is due in May 2014, and we've not yet complied with the second report, with the first report, and I'll indicate what are we putting in place. The first national ban of action for children approved in 1996, which was a direct response to us, because the conditions of us ratifying the Convention on the Rights of the Child, it said that once we've done that, the country needed to put together a national country plan. We have done that, Chairperson. And the first plan of action was approved by the country and was being implemented in 1996. And we're sitting at the process of the department where we're facilitating, following the World Assembly on Children, we need to update the country plan of action. But the country plan of action is to respond to the feedback that we are receiving when we submit the country report. And at the moment, because our country reports are a little bit overdue, it has had a direct impact on us finalizing the plan of action for children. But we are in the process of doing something, and I'll outline later. The UNCRC and its protocols, as well as the African Union Charter on the Rights and the Welfare of the Child, further guided the development and review of the key pieces of legislation. So despite the challenges with reporting, Chair, we have managed to utilize all of these instruments in putting together the different pieces of legislation, the Child Justice Act, the Children's Act, et cetera, that has a direct impact on children. The establishment of the Department for Women, Children and People with Disabilities will further strengthen the coordination mechanisms once the department is funded adequately to enable it to operate in its full capacity. Where are we in terms of the drafting process? Government has completed the second, which is the 2002 report, and the third, which is the 2007 report, but these were not deposited, Chairperson. Remission has been granted by the committee and the secretariat that we be allowed to consolidate the second, the third, and the fourth report and submit all of these reports by June 2013. Allow me to say, Chairperson, that the country report for 2002 with regards to children, that has been finalized and the report is available. But we've never submitted it. We then approached, as the department gets up and functioning, we approached the secretariat and humbly requested the secretariat to allow us to submit all the reports put together. And we finalized that part of up to 2002, and we took it from 2002 to 2007. We finalized that. We're now finalizing the 2007 to 2013. And I'll outline where the process is. The first part that we did that assisted us to fast track and finalize that, we established the interdepartmental committee, and that committee has met more than six times to actually finalize all these three reports. And we're looking at ensuring that the first draft of the report will be due by the 15th of June so that it can start the cabinet and parliamentary processes. That is where we are, Chairperson, with regards to the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. We have finalized the two outstanding reports. We're finalizing the third report, and we are very confident that we will be able to deposit the three reports in June 2013, and we'll submit them as all three at the same time. And the Secretariat of the UN and the Committee on the Rights of the Child have awarded us the opportunity to do that. And we are finalizing all of that, and that is where we are. By 14 June, myself and the Minister will finalize the draft report and submit it through the Cabinet processes, and will submit it to Parliament for Parliament to take it through its own processes, which will be obviously the members respectively. And we're hoping that we will be able to submit all three reports and be up to date with our country reports. With regards to the optional protocol on the sale of children, the child prostitution and child pornography, the lead department in some of these reports are not necessarily ourselves. Unfortunately, we have the obligation to ensure that the report is consolidated, finalized. We've received from the Department of Social Development, the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, the NPA, Health, Labor, SAPS, National Treasury, Film and Publication Board. And these are the only ones, Chair, in the starting process of putting together the report on the optional protocol on the sale of children, child prostitution and child pornography. These are the only departments that have responded to our request for information to enable us to put together this country report. All the other departments are still outstanding. And the departments that we are still chasing to be able to finalize the first country report, that's true, it's Home Affairs, Transport, Communications, and Basic Education. If we get the information, but we do have a plan in place, Chair, on how we're going to get the necessary information that we need out of them. Amongst them is one-on-one with departments so that we are able to get, but also a guiding template and make sure that we convene them and sit with them to be able to actually, by September next year, to try and have the first draft of this particular pornography, sale of children, child prostitution and child pornography, so that we are able to finalize this particular report. The drafting process in terms of the optional protocol on children involved in armed conflict, Chairperson, we have the responsibility to ensure that that compliance is met, but the lead department that needs to assist us with the information to get the first draft is the Department of Defense. We have sent them all the requirements, the template, and we are awaiting them to be able to complete and fill. At the moment, Chair, we don't have the necessary human capital to be able, because all of these reports, we only have 7 people working in the children's unit. They have to do all the other things, and over and above that, chase up all these reports. And these are 3 reports that are running parallel. And we kind of are a bit overstretched, but we are chasing after all of the other departments. So we're still waiting. We've developed the template. We've outlined the compliance issues, and we're waiting for defense to give us the information so we can produce the first draft. And that is where we are with regards to the protocol on children involved in armed conflict as it relates to the Republic. The African Union Charter for the Rights and Welfare of the African Child. We have, Chairperson, consolidated the 2nd, 3rd, and the 4th periodic reports will be utilized for the first country report on the African the rights and the welfare of the African child. As indicated, we have ratified that we've not complied and submitted not even one report. So what we are doing is that we're now pulling out the information from the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child reports to be able to put together the first draft of the African Charter on the Rights and the Welfare of the Child, because that we have to produce different reports for the African Union and a different report for the UN. But we are using that information that we got, because it's all about the rights and the welfare of the child, to enable us to produce the first draft. And that will be the 4th report that's running concurrently with the other reports in terms of the children. One of the biggest challenges we are sitting with, Chair, that contributes to the delay of our reports is that we are really struggling to get quality information out of departments. Government departments are really making us run around and really making us invest a lot of time to get out of government departments the necessary information. We're actually hoping now, with the establishment of the Department for Monitoring and Evaluation, we will be able to get a data that is useful, because we are just not getting that particular information out of. But we're hoping that all these reports by 2013, we would have complied with all of them. All of these 4 children's reports that are overdue and outstanding, the roadmap to complying and making sure that the country is up to date, the draft will be introduced to the cabinet system before the end of October 2013. The cabinet approval draft should reach parliament for public hearings towards the end of January 2013, and that will be to the committee. We don't know what processes the committee would engage in, but given the challenges and the realities of some of the prescripts of the UN conventions themselves that require broader consultations, we're hoping that Parliament would also contribute in the public hearings for those reports to facilitate the public participation as well as the child participation. It's hoped that obviously the final draft of all of these reports can come back from Parliament, we hope, depending on the parliamentary schedule and challenges of the committee, by March 2013, April, so that we are able to then deposit all these 4 or 5 outstanding reports by June to bring the country up to date. And we're hoping that that will be possible. But that is the roadmap that we've put in place, Chairperson. (Clears throat) when it comes to the moving of the children's chair, I'm not sure whether should we stop to take questions or should I continue on to the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. I just need some guidance from you.
Can I get an indication from members? To stop and engage. Are we all agreed on that? My honourable member, are you here? Okay. Okay. Thank you for the presentation on the especially on the rights. The United Nations Convention on the Rights of Children. And let me say upfront, Deputy Minister, although you did actually explain to the reason as to why you couldn't send these on time, I must indicate that, you know, I don't think whether members of Parliament are being undermined, because this is not the first time. And it's really frustrating for members to engage on information when they are seeing it for the first time, because if information reached Parliament after 5, obviously it's the same as receiving it in the morning. So really would like to plead with the department that we should in future actually avoid that, because it really makes us ineffective in engaging with yourselves. But let me then give this opportunity to members to engage. I will note hands, Comrade Kekana, Honorable Chitelo, Honorable More, and then Honorable Pulse, and then Honorable Ake. In that order, Honorable Members. Yeah, you can kick off, Honorable Kekana.
Yeah, no, thanks, Chair. I also want to make a comment to emphasize the point that the Chair has made, that in the last meeting when health was here, the same apology was made that presentation documents are late. In fact, we had a joint meeting with the select committee, and a lot of people's feeling was that this is repeatedly done. We're living a life of apologies, and we can't run this ministry with apologies. We can't always be apologetic. It means we're not taking each other seriously. And in that meeting, people were feeling, no, let them go back. Maybe if they go back, they'll remember next time. So I also just want to emphasize that we can't just say, when they come up with an apology, we'll use it. Because all the time, documents are delayed and we get apology next time. It don't happen again, but it keeps on happening. So we're really requesting that please take it serious. Okay, my main question is, you know, if we are delayed and it is after 18 years to submit these things that we are aware of, the ministry might be new. In fact, it is no more new because I think it's over 3 years now. But these texts were there in the president's office, so our government has been aware of these issues. Now, if after over 18 years, things are not done, really. Because though there were deaths in the presidency, I'm sure work was done there. And that work should extend into the ministry. The ministry is not like it is starting from 0 point. So the delay itself is a worrying factor, but even more important for me, conventions are there, they are important to submit to United Nations, and I think there's a lot of traveling to United Nations and so on and so forth. But ultimately, I mean, this ministry is there for this country. I mean, I would request that when you get reports about children's convention, prostitution, combat in the army, and so on, when we do all this, at the same time, we should get a practical report that tells us what is happening in the country. Because, to be honest, conventions are not an end in themselves. They are a means to an end. They are an instrument to achieve something, to achieve the rights of children. And we want to constantly, when you say we're still working on this convention, say to us, but this is the status in the country. Research should be done. Not maybe through departments because they seem to be delaying, so that we talk more about children in the country than paperwork. Because we can focus on paperwork, and if we don't know what is happening in the country, maybe not at length at this stage, but we need to get a status quo report, maybe in two paragraphs that say, well, children's rights in terms of violence, in terms of prostitution, this is what the case is. We need that information. Otherwise, we'll work theory forever, for the next 20, 40 years. And when you read newspapers, you get shocked at what is happening. So I'd like us to shift focus. The core should be the practicability of what is happening with children, rather than pushing paperwork, which we don't seem to be finishing in any case. We don't seem to be completing these conventions. But we like to see what is happening in real life with children. Just a brief report all the time. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Let me firstly say thank you to the Deputy Minister in reporting. Madam Chair, I'm a bit disturbed because here we are talking about the rights of a child, which is very, very important to each and everyone in South Africa. And we all know that a child or children are the future. But I'm surprised that the Deputy Minister made mention of they've been waiting for the departments to give quality reports. But I don't say she's wrong in saying that, but to me, waiting for 10 solid years for quality reports, to me, it's very, 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 very expensive. I would like to be on just on the reports only, and I have a concern that there was a mention of reports being taken to the cabinet. I don't say it's wrong in doing that, but can the reports pass the portfolio committee first before going to the cabinet? Because once it's signed, and you can't say a word because the cabinet has already signed. And the first report for the first one, actually, 1995, the second and the third. What is the department having? What can they give us on their own about the report, that rather than just saying it will come on, it will be reported on 2015? What are their contents in that end report? And I would like to align myself with Mr. Kekana that trips for the conventions are taken, but the most important things that should come, we have to wait and be explained that there's a delay. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Deputy Minister, on slide 5, the last bullet, you talk about the department, you know, will furthermore strengthen the coordination mechanism once the department is funded adequately. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm worried. I've never heard any department, you know, saying we adequately funded. So this will never happen where the department has got enough money to be able to perform all the duties. So I think we need to be careful in terms of the PFMA to say you use whatever available resources to achieve whatever you've put as your targets. And then when you talk about, I must say this is really demoralizing, that in our country we know that statistically 77 children are abused almost every day. And SA stats released that 54,000 reported crimes are crimes against children, crimes against humanity. And if by now we haven't even submitted, you know, even if we finalized or completed the reports, we haven't even deposited them to the UN, it's actually very, very alarming. And more to that, we just learned that the Department of Basic Education and Sports, they actually admitted that their departments have not used child protection register or sexual offense register to vet people they oversee who work with children. So we've got so many, many cases in our countries that actually makes your department very, very, very relevant, and it must act, you know, very, very responsibly towards this report. My question to that minister is to say, what is the content? You know, your PowerPoint presentation is very interesting, but it talks to the processes and the steps, what is happening, blah, 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 and you will tell us how far, you will tell us what will you do. It will be interesting to know the content in terms of what are the gaps, what are the challenges, what has happened between 2002, 2007, and how are you going to implement whatever, you know, you came about in terms of maybe as your solutions to whatever gaps you have. So we need to know the content of the of the report thus far that you have completed. Thank you.
Chairperson, most of mine are covered, but what I want to hear from the Deputy Minister is why is your obligations not met, and can you explain what you did explain was not acceptable, because it's 6 years, the period, 6 years out of it, but what is the department doing? Because it's 6 years later and still there's nothing to show to us. From 2003 till 2006, then from 2006 till 2009, nothing has been happening. Can the minister please explain?
Thank you, Chairperson. It's really worrisome, Chair. Where I'm sitting here, to me, what comes in my mind is that really the department is not doing quality job as far as this international protocols are concerned. There's absolutely nothing. And you know, each time when we are out of the country, they will always tell us, we're in Norway in last December. We're told that South Africa is the first that ratifies, but there is not even a single report from South Africa. And by the look of things, Deputy Minister, even the time frames that we have stated that by 2014, things will be fine. I don't think so. I think this is just dressing up. It looks as if there are so many outstanding reports, and I don't think we are. It's 2012. We are already in June. I don't think really by 2013 or 14 there's anything quality that would have come from the department. And this is a great concern. More so, as we are seated here, we know the gruesome killings that are happening to children, but there is nothing in our country that we can fall back on. From your report, you said the national plan is currently being developed and is due to be submitted to a cabinet in 2012. It's already 2012, it's June. when is it going to be submitted? We are getting into the second term of the year. We are still saying we are going, it's being developed and it's going to be submitted. It's 2012 now. And in our hands, we hold this blood of children that are being gruesomely killed in the way that we have. We don't even have a national plan of action. Chair, really, from my side, I'm not satisfied of the scenario that has been created by the department. More so, children are being killed every day, and there is nothing that is being done. Even in the department, there's not even a national plan of action. I mean, Deputy Minister, there is no time where we'll say the resources are there, the resources are fine. But at least you must be doing something that is tangible towards the rights of the rights of the children, which are actually prescribed in our constitution. But there's actually nothing that is happening. Like my colleague said, like here it said, the national plan of action is currently being developed, is due to be submitted to the cabinet. I want to know, as my colleague said, there are processes to submit it to the cabinet in 2012. I don't know when. Why that can't it via the committee before it goes to cabinet? Because once it is submitted into cabinet, there's nothing that you can do. We'll just be rubber stamping it. So I would like you to look at that process, that we think it should via through the portfolio committee and from the portfolio committee to the department. There is somewhere here where you say in your presentation, the Department of Defense, you are waiting, a submission is awaited from the Department of Defense. For me, this is a very, very light saying. I see a very timid approach from the department. If you are waiting from the department, definitely the department will never come to you and give you, unless you monitor, your work is to monitor. You are to go behind the department, follow the department until it submits. But the way it's written here, the submission is awaited from the department, which means even if it can come after 10 years, you'll still be waiting. Shows, Chair, I think the department should actually try and do something that will convince us all that something has been done on the rights of the children. And this is a constitutional matter. So it's really worrisome.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the delegation from the department was not introduced. And at the beginning, I thought the Deputy Minister is is just giving us the introduction the department is going to report. I don't know whether the Deputy Minister or the Minister is the one that is supposed to give the reports to us. I'm not sure about that. I must check it. I'm really not sure about it. I'm not sure. But Chair, I think I share the same sentiments that are shared by the others. The report is just a summary version of the report. And we are disempowered, honestly. We cannot even engage into the report because it's too fleshy. The issues we do not understand, we don't have a background on the issues that are summarized here. Honestly, I'm very disappointed. Because I've been looking, but I don't understand the background to the whole thing. If we had a report and then we had this presentation, I think we would understand better, Chair. Because we don't have a report with us, and then we get to this scanty one, so it's very difficult to engage on this particular one.
Thank you, Honourable Members. I think apology from my side for not allowing us the routine that we usually take in introducing ourselves in the department. But I think members have said it all. I am not sure
as to whether we are really going to get what we want, you know, from this meeting. Because, honestly speaking, we don't have the content. We are dealing here with the process. And again, given the fact that, as members of parliament, we have to engage with civil society. We are all aware that civil society will not be able to come up with a shadow report before they see the country's report. So, I'm not sure, honourable members, maybe it will come out of, you know, the discussions that we're holding here, because seriously speaking, we don't have the content. And what is it that we are going to be, I mean, deliberating on? And given the fact that also we are also concerned about the time that we are going to get to engage with civil society. So I think we have to be honest, because we are dealing here with critical matters which members have already alluded to, which I don't want to repeat. The issue of inadequate finances. We know that the department is underfunded, but is the department of the opinion that their budget is going to increase? Because we are all aware of that, and if up to now we are still hearing that, you know, because of inadequate, you know, human capital, inadequate financial resources, what is it that we are going to achieve? Let me then maybe afford the department to respond.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you very much, honourable members, for the questions. Allow me to just introduce the team before I respond. Next to me, and maybe to make sure that honourable Kekana is included, I would like the members from the department to just say their names and surnames and the titles that they have been awarded. Lydia, we'll start with you.
Thank you, Deputy Minister, honourable Chair, members. Lydia Pretorius, responsible for monitoring and evaluation for rights of people with disabilities, Chief Director.
Thank you, Minister. Chair and honourable members, my name is Mzolisi Kadoni. I'm the Acting Director General for the Department.
I'm Rose Temba, and I'm Chief Director, Monitoring and Evaluation for Children.
Morning, my name is Lisa Gazimukufa, Parliamentary Liaison Officer from the Office of the Deputy Minister.
Good morning. I'm David Lally, the Special Advisor to the Minister.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, Deputy Minister. I think it will be fair also to do that from our side. My name is Dorothea Mudibe, the chairperson of the PC.
I'm Manana Taki, the whip of the committee.
Ipusin Bitsetelo, member of the committee from Northwest Province.
Morning, Koni Musimani, member of the committee from Gauteng Province.
Morning, Emma Morel, member of the committee.
Morning, I'm Sierra Pouza from the Western Cape, member of the committee.
Okay.
I'm Zelene Millington from SABC Radio.
Yeah.
I'm also with the SABC. My name's Abra.
My name is Kanye Sanjo, and I'm from Parliamentary Communication Services.
Good morning. I'm Marika Kremen, and I'm with the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Oh, you.
Good morning. I'm the researcher to the Select Committee.
Good morning, Kashfa Islands, researcher to the Good Project Committee.
Good morning, Crystal Lemander, also researcher to the committee.
Good morning. I'm Lorenzo Westfield. I'm a researcher in children's rights at the Community Law Centre at the University of the West Midlands.
Good morning, I'm Mandy Risso. I'm from the Office on Institutions Supporting Democracy, which is in the Speaker's Office Parliament.
My name is Kenny Makala, and I work at the National System.
Good morning, Mr.
My name is Denike Ghana, and I did say I thought they know us because they are always here.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you so much, Chairperson and Honourable Members. Allow me, Chair, to just take a moment before I answer the responses to sincerely apologize, firstly, for the miscommunication, and humbly request, because the letter that the committee secretary sent requested us to come and update the committee on the process. How far are we with the country reports? So if the committee request was for us to submit the contents of the report and there was a miscommunication, allow me to sincerely apologize from our side. But we understood that we were to bring the committee up to speed on how far are we with regards to the finalization of these reports. So if there was any miscommunication, allow me to sincerely apologize. Secondly, with regards to the reports, whether the department chairperson this morning as the deputy minister, on behalf of the minister, I am leading the department delegation and therefore has the responsibility to report as the political head of the department. So the department will be led and I will be doing the presentations, and where I need their technical assistance in terms of responding to questions, we will definitely do that. So I thought I needed to clarify that where it happens that myself and the minister is available to lead the delegation as the leaders, we do the presentations. And we, with this time around, we felt that it is important, a matter that whoever is available between the two of us leads the delegation and actually makes the presentation. I thought I needed to clarify that. Chairperson, I also want to go back and link today's presentations to the many other presentations that we have made as the department to the Portfolio Committee. Firstly, Chairperson, we want to indicate that the reporting and the progress to date that the department has made should always be put into context in terms of the first 2 years was dedicated to the establishment of the department. It's important that we all just remember that the first year the department was in the presidency. So it was proclaimed, but it did not physically exist. And there were no employees allocated to this particular department. So the first year we were in the presidency and employing people, and the second year we were putting in place systems. So the progress that we are reporting is basically a one-year progress in terms of what we've managed to achieve in the first year in terms of putting together the reports. I also want to note and take very seriously the concerns of the members and give members assurance that we are on top of our country reports, and within the progress that is made in the 12 months, we are committed and convinced that we will bring the country's reporting up to date. We also note, Chairperson, that despite the fact that our reports are outstanding, members alluded to the traveling back and forth. Unfortunately, in terms of the manner in which the UN system works, you still have to appear because other committees, when they sit, they require the country to physically come and ask and answer certain questions, and that should be understood within that particular context in terms of the traveling, that despite a country having outstanding reports, there are a lot of meetings where we are supposed to appear, and that is the traveling that has been happening. And also the consolidation, because we had to go physically to the UN Secretariat to go and request them to allow us to consolidate the three reports. That you could not do with a letter. It was, you had to appear before a full sitting of the committee, which the minister did when she took office, to go and request that the country be allowed to consolidate the three reports. And since we have been granted the permission, Chair, we have managed to complete the 1997 to 2002 report. It's completed. The reasons why the committee members have it, I'll come back to that. We have managed, Chair, to complete the 2002 to 2000 report. Those reports are completed. 2007. That report is completed, Chairperson. Despite our 1 year actual functioning as the committee, we have managed to pull those 2 5-year reports. And Chairperson, allow me to also indicate that in September 2011, we submitted this report to the committee. I just want to lift it up so that if members can remember. We submitted this report to the committee entitled South Africa's Children. We have South Africa's Children, a review of equity and child rights. This was submitted to the portfolio committee by the department in September 2011. And this is the report that forms the baseline of the basis of all of the reports. So we had to finalize this report on South Africa's Children, and I'd humbly request if members could look at that. That was done by the Department for Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities. This report was submitted in September 2011. And we also submitted to the Portfolio Committee Chairperson in terms of the report on the situation analysis the situation analysis on the rights of South Africa's children, which we are using as a baseline, as a secondary supplementary report to finalize the African the African Union rights and the welfare of the African child. We've submitted that to the Portfolio Committee in 2009, in November. So I just needed to just go back to some of the reports from a content perspective. But I may also say, Chairperson, the country plan of action for children is in existence. We're not operating without a plan of action for children. What needs to happen is that every 10 years, each country has to review the plan of action for children. We acknowledge that the presidency delayed because the current plan of action for children was adopted in 1997. And it was due for review in 2007, and that did not happen. And that is what we are in the process of updating and bringing into line in terms of the realities of the country and the international politics. However, we have domesticated, when I come back to the questions, Chairperson, the issues raised by Honorable Kekana, we have domesticated and made and brought to life these international instruments through the Children's Act, Chairperson. It is a direct direct response to the Convention on the Rights of the Child. The Child Justice Act is a response to the articles on the Convention on the Rights of the Child. The Sexual Protection Act is a direct response in terms of the domestication of these particular instruments. And we have said that yourselves, Chairperson, as members of Parliament and legislators, you do use these conventions, and in the numbers, different numbers of legislations, the conventions are domesticated. We note, Chair, the challenges indeed that we find ourselves as a country wanting when it comes to the protection of children, and as we mark Child Protection Week. And we are, as a department, we are not an implementing department, so we are coordinating and marshalling each and every department to make sure that they are able to do what is it that they are supposed to do. Let me explain the processes, Chairperson, as raised, as a concern raised by members in terms of the Cabinet and the Parliament. I just want to say, we unfortunately, in terms of the government processes, we cannot submit to Parliament a report that Cabinet has not seen. And in terms of the separation of powers, Cabinet has to approve and allow us as a department, because as a department, we are not an implementing department. So we need to make sure that each and every minister who has the responsibility and the obligation towards South Africa's children is happy and is actually made the necessary contributions and inputs. That is the reason why when we develop these reports, it has to go through to Cabinet. Now, the process is as follows, Chair, if I may take a second just to... We consolidate and pull together all the departments as a department responsible to ensuring that we meet those obligations. We put it together and make sure each minister is held accountable to sign off on their inputs. It goes to Parliament as a government component of the report. Once that is done, we send it to Parliament. Parliament has its own processes and it can... And it can amend or change the report, Chairperson. It's the same processes, especially because it is Parliament that ratifies all of these international instruments. So all these reports, we will be submitting them to Cabinet so that the government component, and then the separation of powers will come into effect when we table it to yourself, and the portfolio committee will decide how they want to process the report and whether the changes that they want to make, the subtractions, the additions, the portfolio committee will be free to do that. Once the portfolio committee has finalized the report, it goes through to Parliament, and then it will then become the country report, because Parliament is, at the end of the day, the custodians of these. I must say that, Chairperson, that has been a gap where government has in the past submitted reports without Parliament. And we are, as a department, committed to ensuring that no report leaves the shores of this country, and we submit a report without the portfolio committee. So I can confirm and say, from our side, we, as soon as Cabinet approves, we send it to Parliament, and Parliament can process it in whatever manner. And once the Parliament has processed it, we will take back the report that comes out of Parliament back to Cabinet for Cabinet's final approval and submission. So Cabinet will be approving the final report as it comes out of Parliament, but not open for discussion, but rather for a signature and deposit, Chair. So we can be rest assured that it's not going to be a Cabinet and then the Portfolio Committee just rubber stamps. The Portfolio Committee will do with the report as the Portfolio Committee feels. And Cabinet will just do the final signature, because the UN expects it to finalize, and then it will be called a country report. So unfortunately, Chair, we are unable to bring the contents of the report, because it is an interdepartmental, multisectoral report, to the Portfolio Committee before Cabinet signs it off. And the signed off report is not the last report, because Parliament does have the last say. Chairperson, the issue of whether the department will ever have enough resources, we agree with the Portfolio Committee that no department can ever say to Parliament, we have enough money. But I just wanted to contextualize that in the children's rights, Chairperson, with all of the obligations that we have, there are only two people that do the country reports, which is the monitoring and evaluation unit. They are supposed to chase after all the departments, and I can confirm that they spend a lot of time doing that and going to the departments and sitting down. They are supposed to do the actual research. They are supposed to do the actual drafting. And over and above all that, they are supposed to track everything else that is happening in the country, which is the indicators for children. So I just wanted to say, Chairperson, without sounding very defensive, I think that they have really given it their best, because we do have all the draft reports ready. And let me also confirm, as Honorable the Whip raised, I can confirm, Chair, that the cabinet memos are with the ministry. So it's not into the future. We are submitting, as we sit here, their report, the draft reports to cabinet. So they are entering the cabinet system, not in the near future, but before the end of June. The draft reports are ready. We're just taking it through the cabinet processes to be able for cabinet to process them, and they will be coming to the portfolio committee when the portfolio committee comes back from its August recess. I can confirm that. So it's not drafts that are still somewhere. I've addressed, Chair, the issue of the contents of the reports, and the child register. Chairperson, the register resides with the Department of Social Development, and in terms of the Child Act, the Department of Social Development and the Department of Justice were supposed to ensure that all the registers are consolidated, and that the register A and B as per the Child Act is consolidated. Yes, we note, Chairperson, it is our concern as a department that that has not happened. We have raised it and brought it to the attention. And in the interdepartmental committee, we've agreed on a deadline in terms of the children's machinery as well, on when the registers will be effective and functioning. But it is the Department of Social Responsibility as the custodian of the register, and it is the Department of Justice's responsibility to update the register. And as criminals get convicted through the justice system, that the relevant information flows. As a department, we monitor and we are in the process of finalizing a tracking mechanism, Chairperson. As indicated in the previous, when we presented the strategic plan, that our IT systems are now up and running. I can confirm that we are in the process of finalizing the electronic tracking system of all of the processes and of all of the departments. We are doing a trial run with the disability rights, and we will share in due course that particular system that will be tracking everything. And now that our own server is functional from the 1st of April as a department, we are now populating. And I can also confirm that once and finally, Chairperson, our website is up and running as well. So we will be putting all of those tracking mechanisms in the website, and also will share the monitoring and evaluation system that we are finalizing in the department. It's being installed as we speak, and we are just driving it, and we will share the relevant suggestions. And we hope that once that system is up and running, we will be able to function more better. We also, Chair, are in agreement in terms of the realities of the violations of South Africa, the rights of South Africa's children. I just want to say, Chairperson, that we're dealing with a very dramatic situation, and as a department, we find ourselves also struggling. There's two matters that we need to balance as the whole country is actually in fire in terms of child abuse, sexual abuse, neglect, and all of the violations against children. The one aspect, the one balancing factor that we are trying to balance, Chairperson, given the limited resources that we have, is the promotion and the protection of the rights of children constitutionally. And amongst those is the aspect of violations against children not being reported. If I make a typical example, currently in South Africa, the children's violations against children are reported, and sometimes the media does not observe the non-mentioning of the children, or the mother gets mentioned by virtue the child's identity has been disclosed, or the father, or etc. Whereas constitutionally that should not happen. So as a department, in the process of balancing all those things, where we trying to make sure that violations against children are recorded properly, but also at the same time that the identity and the children are protected. And at the moment, I must say up front, given that there's only 5 people working to do all of that work nationally, we are struggling a bit in terms of capturing what is happening against children, whilst at the same time making sure that the children are protected. There's a gap, and we've identified the gap, and we are in the process of closing it. The last question, I think I can, yeah, the last question, Chairperson, that I might not have answered. If I have not answered, I would just be reminded on which one. The reporting mechanisms, Chairperson, in terms of one of the aspects that we are in the process of ensuring that going forward the department functions better in terms of the rights of children is we're working with the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation and looking at how are they going to further desegregate what they have and what the reporting mechanisms are from departments. But we're also looking at ensuring that when the department submits their quarterly reports, that every quarter are able to access all these reports from all the departments, and that we analyze them quarterly and consolidate them so that when the 5 years of reporting comes, we are able to just send the departments to say, this is what we've extracted from your quarterly reports to Parliament and to all your reporting responsibilities. Can you please confirm? So that we minimize the chasing, the frustration, the energy that the department puts in getting information out of the department. Sometimes also, Chairperson, is that departments, big as they may, bigger than ours, they don't manage information in the manner in which it's required for us to report. So we always have to work through all these reports. Now we're developing a system where we will work through these reports quarterly. And we have started with this quarter, Chairperson. When they report in July, we will pull together out of those all the information that we will need for all the conventions that we are required to comply. And we believe that that is a step forward in terms of addressing some of the challenges and the frustrations. But also in the process, Chair, we are also learning as it's the first time that we are putting together all these reports as the department, because in the past it was the small desks that were placed in the presidency. So we also in a learning curve as a department that it is the first time that we need to marshal all the departments and get information out of them to produce a country report. And as we do that, we develop in systems based on experience on the strugglings, because at the moment, as I said, we're dealing with 5 reports for children, we're dealing with 4 reports for women, and we're dealing with the report on the rights of persons with disabilities. So we're dealing with literally 10 country reports simultaneously, Chairperson, as a department. I don't know if there's any... Yeah, I hope, Chair, I have answered all the questions.
There's a follow-up question. Members, be mindful that we are still to receive a presentation on the rights of...
Yeah, sure.
Please be very brief.
No, just 2 quick follow-up. The first one is on the fact that there are 2 people working on this. Look, I don't think there will be a stage where you'll have enough people to work on this. Like, there's no time when we'll have enough money. But you know, if you are allocated the resources, the question becomes, within the constraints of those resources, are members then kind of satisfied that, look, within their constraint? For now, I don't think we are convinced that there is, you've done the best you could within the worst situation. This is what we're criticizing. That there are two people, but to be honest, we're still not satisfied within the constraints that are there. The resources that are there are not giving us a satisfactory outcome. The second point, which is my main point, we also, when you talk of content, you're not saying give us details. And I don't think when you come and talk about conventions, we just say, don't just talk about ideas that you're writing in conventions and so on. At least, you know, if there was a graph saying, look, I mean, so far, for the first 5 years or 10 years, this was the graph about children's rights. Children were, it was up, which is better, it was down. And at least for the last 3 years since we are here, children's rights are much better because the graph has gone down or something like that. So just an indication so that we know that you have grips, you are in grips of what is happening, you know the total picture of what children. We don't just want a report that says convention, where are children? I mean, ultimately, just a small summary that says this is the situation. Though we are busy with convention, we think that we must be alarmed because children's rights are seriously violated because these are the national statistics. And this you get from institutions that, like South African Statistics or Research Councils, they do research about these things, which is an immediate indication about what the situation is. So I was asking for something like that rather than a comprehensive or a total detailed content of the convention. I'm just saying, let's not talk about convention purely from separately from what is happening about children. We are here about children, and we want to hear something. Whether they are in a worse situation or better situation, are things improving or are things getting worse while you are working on technicalities like conventions? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you.
Deputy Minister, you've spoken about equity and child rights report that the department submitted. Is that the report? Are you talking about the review by UNICEF and Human Rights Commission? Because that was the review by them, not by the department. I just want clarity to compile the report. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kekana. As I said when I answered the questions, I think there's been a miscommunication on what the committee's expectation is from us. But, Chair, we can commit that if the committee is looking for us, because we brought to say this is where we are in terms of the drafting, this is what the process, because that's how we interpreted the letter that we received. If the committee would want us to come and give a status report on South Africa's children, we would humbly request that we be awarded an opportunity to do that. And that, Chairperson, I want to confirm we can do, because we do have the information, as indicated that we at the finalization. So we hope that the Chair will send the request for us to come and brief the committee on the status of South Africa's children, that we committing to come back and giving that particular information in terms of where we started, how are we doing, what are the problem areas, where are the challenges. With regards to who compiled the report, Chairperson, the report is the department's report. The department work with partners, and the department, because as I said, for instance, we only have two people. The Human Rights Commission was commissioned by the department to do that report. So it is the department's report in partnership with the Human Rights Commission and UNICEF. And in most of our reports, because as you would also be aware, Chairperson, we only have 4 million rand, just to go back, 4 million rand to do all the work relating to children. That's what we have. So in that 4 million rand, we have to host the National Children's Day, we have to do the reports, we have to respond to the challenges of children, and that is our reality. So in an attempt, as the honorable members have indicated, that we are expected to do all this work. We establish partnerships because we don't want to keep on coming back and complaining about money. Because at the end of the day, the real money that we have, once you minus the salaries and the running costs, you're left with 4 million rand. And the 4 million rand has to do all the work that we are required to do, including the coordination and the consolidation. So we form partnerships. UNICEF does assist us from time to time. The Human Rights Commission does. So we form partnerships with respective partners to respond to the different needs that we identify, which we don't have resources to implement. So that is how the innovation that we introduce it. But let me also say that, Chair, part of the delay of the country reports, which so far we are consolidating, we've not been, is that we also need to make sure that these reports are aligned to all the other country reports that are being submitted, that are not necessarily being submitted by this department. We need to always draw into all the reports that South Africa has submitted to the UN. And just as a typical example, we submitted as a country, that was led by State South Africa last year, the country reports and the MDGs. And it became clear the country did not submit, did not include disabled people. And now the UN Secretary General has come back and say, submit the same report but focusing on disabled people because they are not included in your MDG report. And we are now sitting and drawing and pulling everybody. And for the first time, the country has just realized that they actually don't have... Maybe I'm saying something wrong.
There's too much noise. Can we have one
listen, please? As a country, we for the first time actually woke up to the reality that we actually don't have the relevant information that we should have about disabled people, just as a typical example. So I'm saying, Chair, we will come back to provide, at your invitation, to provide what Honorable Kekana wished, because we have worked on the report and we have the information. We will be gladly available to provide that particular content in terms of the comparisons, the progress, where are we lacking, what are the weaknesses in the system. We'll be gladly able to come and present that to the committee. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Deputy Minister. Can we move to... Yes, please.
Chairperson, as indicated when I started, that the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities was endorsed by the UN and opened for signature by member states in 2007. Allow me to indicate that for the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities to come into effect, South Africa and Mexico were the sponsoring countries that actually raised the matter with the UN to say that, but what are we doing with people with disabilities, given our own progress in terms of the rights of people with disabilities. That motion was sponsored by South Africa, and as a result, South Africa played a central part in drafting of the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. We brought to the UN system our own experiences post-1994, but also our constitution, which recognizes non-discrimination on the basis of disability, our development of the white paper processes, the Integrated National Disability Strategy, our sector legislations in terms of integrating disability throughout the country, as well as a very active disabled people's organizations. We took that chair to the UN, and we had the honor of being playing a very significant role in facilitating that particular, including participating in the bureau that was responsible for the processes. In 2007, 2001, 2009, when the convention was open to member states for signatures, in terms of having played the required leadership, South Africa was part of the first countries that signed and ratified the convention. What we did from 2007 to 2009 was to raise awareness on the articles contained in the Convention on the Rights of the Child, because it is the latest 21st century UN convention in terms of human rights. And we needed to raise the level of awareness across all three spheres of government, as well as civil society, with a special focus on people with disabilities themselves. And we also had to bring all the parties at NEDLAC to alert them on what the country has committed. That process we've done, Chairperson. The establishment of the department in 2008 delayed the key processes, because there was that whole two-year gap that we spoke about earlier on, Jefferson. Because once we've ratified the convention requires us to do a legislative audit. Allow me to confirm, Jefferson, we are in the process of finalizing the legislative audit. And the convention required us to update our existing disability policy. When we submitted the strat plan, we indicated, and I am driving that process as the deputy minister, as I'm responsible for disability issues in the Republic, as per the division of labor between me and the minister. We are finalizing and updating the disability policy in partnership. So the convention required us to do that. The convention also required us to roll out a coordinated disability awareness and accessibility campaign. The campaign was my first official responsibility when I joined the department in November. I joined the department in October last year, and on the 25th, and on the 3rd of November, we launched the Universal Access Awareness Campaign that focuses the whole country on the issues of disability. And that campaign is running as we speak, Chair. And the campaign is not as big and as in your face as we would want it to be, because we do have, as we spoke up, and limited financial and human resources. So we are pitching the campaign at different levels, which we had reported at the previous report. 2012-2013. We have identified the priorities this year, where we've managed to focus the disability agenda to the five priorities of government, so we've managed to do that. With regards to the country report, the first draft was completed in 2011, September, and then the draft was then reviewed, I must say, by myself, because the draft that was there was not necessarily representing the country and the work that has been done. So lack of detail and information at provincial and local spheres has actually resulted in the second phase of consultations, because the first draft had not done that, Jefferson. It just pulled together information from national government departments, and when we arrived, we had to make sure that the consultations with provinces and local government happened so that it is indeed a country report. We also realized, as we do that, that there is a limited capacity in terms of the understanding and interpretation of disability data and disability rights and disability research content experts in the country. We don't have that. We have very, very limited. So we then requested the United UN DESA, which is the United Nations Disability Development and Economic Sector, to assist the country in empowering national departments to be able to actually engage in disability-related data. And I can confirm that training, Chair, we pushed it. It happened in November 2011, so that we are able to get out of department information that is useful. We've received to date a total number of 20 submissions to date, which is from Arts and Culture, Basic Education, Communication, Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, the Department of Energy, Government Communication and Information Systems, Human Settlements, Labor, Mineral Resources, Public Enterprise, Public Works, Sports and Recreation, the Presidency, Tourism, Trade and Industry, and Water Affairs, and all of the other departments, we are still waking up chasing them every single day. We received the following presentations from the department in terms of inputs: the province of KwaZulu-Natal, the province of Gauteng, the province of Limpopo, and the province of the Western Cape. And I can confirm, Chair, even myself, in person, I'm getting into the admin where I call premiers and I call ministers, and minister is calling everybody to say, can we please finalize the country report, or else we'll send it without your input. And at the moment, despite us having sent requests and engaged and even visited the executive mayors in the districts, they have still not submitted anything, including the metros, Chairperson, none of the sphere of local government. We've given them a lot of capacity. We've invited them to the Disability Summit. We spent time with them to assist them to understand what is expected, but we're not winning in that regard either. What processes are we putting in place? The second draft will be introduced to the cabinet system by the end of July. What we have resorted at is going literally to allocate time to physically sit with these departments to get the information out of them. But whilst we've done that, we've also sent out a questionnaire that they are now supposed to fill in, despite the other template from the UN. We've now further simplified so that we are able to get the data that we need out of them. We've circulated all that to the outstanding departments, Chairperson, and we are following up literally every single day in trying to get out the necessary information. We're hoping that we will finalize the one-on-one, the chasing up, and be able to submit the draft country report to Cabinet by August, and we're hoping that it will go through the Cabinet processes and by September, Chair, when you come back by October, when you come back, you should be able to receive the physical country report that Cabinet has approved for the Portfolio Committee to engage. We are hoping once again and pleading with the Portfolio Committee to have a public hearings on the disability the disability country report, as we believe that will award more South Africans to make input onto the report, but it will also assist us to actually improve on the report that we have from the public hearings that the Portfolio Committee will conduct, and for once the nation will take a moment to engage. Depositing at the United Nations, we are hoping that before the United Nations celebrates the International Day of Persons with Disabilities, we would have ensured that we have deposited the country report. Our initial plan, Chair, was that when we attend the state parties meeting where we are required to report as South Africa, we would have finalized the processes. Unfortunately, we're not getting the necessary responses from our other spheres of government and our sister departments, and therefore we are required to give inputs on specific articles that we are busy preparing. We're hoping that Parliament will hold the public hearings to verify the contents of the report in order to minimize shadow reporting and synchronize the General Assembly and the ECOSOC processes. By that, what we mean is that, Chair, normally shadow reporting only happens if civil society in the country is very unhappy with the country's report, with the government component. And we're saying that with Parliament being able to hold public hearings and being able to bring all stakeholders, we actually say we're hoping that the outcome will be that South Africa won't have a shadow report, because we will try and Parliament will play the role of ensuring that the country report is actually representative of all the views, not that of government alone. And we're also saying that it will actually minimize the shadow reporting and synchronize. If there's a shadow report, Chairperson, then the department will literally live in New York, because what would happen is that the ECOSOC, which is the chamber responsible for shadow reporting, would require government to come physically to all its sittings and explain itself and defend the shadow report that has been presented. Whereas if Parliament is able to hold the required public hearings, we'll synchronize and have a country report, and that way the General Assembly, where government report and the ECOSOC processes where NGOs report in the UN system, will be synchronized and minimize the physical appearance of the country to New York to be able to respond to all these particular different committees. We are hoping, Chair. We request that the reports be debated as well to facilitate the multi-party participation and consensus, because the manner in which the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities is structured, unlike other conventions, I guess because it's the last UN instrument, also puts an obligation on a number of political parties, and that they will be able to submit their shadow reports. So we would like yourselves to assist us to facilitate that particular multi-party participation. We're also hoping that indeed, because Parliament ratified the convention, that Parliament, a parliamentary delegation will join us as we go through the UN system to process the reports, because the committee would have an opportunity to input into the political declarations and the country commitments, so that you are able to perform the necessary oversight on government, with having been part of making inputs to this submission. What are the challenges, Chair, that we have come across as we develop all these reports, whether it's for women, it's for children, it's for people with disabilities? It's lack of responsiveness by national departments, that remains a provincial government, and district municipalities in submitting reports within the agreed deadlines. Poor quality of contents in reports, very little detail, and very, very scanty data. That's another. Slow pace of focus and treaty-linked mainstreaming of disability and children considerations in government-wide planning and reporting systems. What happens is that, Chair, the Department of International Relations is specifically responsible for consolidating and rallying the country in terms of all of the deadlines. We as a department don't know the deadline. So sometimes the Department of International Relations don't bring to the attention of the respective departments in time when are which reports due, and then we get the deadlines literally sometimes very late. Lack of disaggregated data systems within departments, lack of knowledge management systems, institutional memory in departments. When one official that used to deal with that aspect leaves, then nobody else seems to be knowing what is going on. High turnover of focal points, planning and M&E personnel in departments. We find that the disability unit or the children's unit or women's unit is one person who's doing all three of those. When that person leaves, they leave with the whole institution. And that we have learned as we pull together all these reports. And that is a weakness that we are raising with all the different departments. Uncoordinated responses to regular as well as periodic reporting on treaties to the UN and to the African Union system. Lack of clarity with regards to the role of the Department of International Relations, because some of the reports, Chairperson, we're supposed to provide the content and the department is supposed to actually finalize. So at the moment, there has been that clarity that we had to introduce that debate, so that we actually understand who's responsible for what, and that clarity be provided. Lack of integrated and centralized information knowledge management systems, and we're hoping that the establishment of the Department for Monitoring and Evaluation will actually respond to that challenge, because that is a very, very big challenge that delays to the country being unable to put to actually meet its reporting obligations on time. Capacity constraints to coordinate consultations, conduct research, and drafting reports within the Department for Women, Children, we've already spoken about. It is a serious challenge. As we conclude, Chair, we want to say that the Department remains committed to strengthening its reporting capacity to the UN and to the African Union and all the other regional bodies like SADC, because we do have a regional-based commitment, Chairperson, as well. Focus is on, among others, we are working very hard to fill in all the critical vacancies as soon as the resources within the constraints facing us in terms of financial resources, but we are filling those vacancies that we are able to fill this year. And just to say to members, from April last year, there were only 40 people in the department. We are now closer to 100. So we are really pushing to filling all those vacancy posts. Finalizing the MNE framework and tools for the mainstreaming of disability children and gender considerations into the government-wide planning and monitoring and evaluation system linked to our reporting obligations in the international treaties we have ratified as a country. These treaties, as the department get established, government never used to plan or implement anything with the reporting requirements in line. So the department is sensitizing all the departments to actually begin to work so that we don't wake up as and when the reporting times come and we all, but it actually is integrated in our everyday work, and the department is making progress in that regard. This will enable the department to monitor progress with implementation on an annual rather than on a 3 to 5 year period. I've already indicated, Chair, that we also even going down to the quarterly reports so that we are able every year to fill a particular component of the country report. We're looking at a part of what we are going to do is to institutionalize the reporting mechanisms. And we believe that once we institutionalize that in what we do on a daily basis, we will not have the necessary challenges where we frustrated and struggle when we are supposed to submit the country reports. Just in concluding, Chair, is that the disability report, the draft is available. It has the gaps of all those departments and provinces that have not responded. We are filling it. We're done with the formatting, the layout, and we're able to slot in the required information as it comes in. And we're hoping that the allocated 2 weeks will get us where we want to go. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. Members, here is the report. The opportunity is in your hands to engage with the department. Honorable Kekana, Honorable More, for now. Okay.
Thanks, Chair. No, I think there is an improvement. Somehow you feel things are moving a bit here. I mean, they've been stagnant, I can tell you. So my advice, though, would be, you see, if you tell us you had 40 employees in the past and now you're 100, you know, the only language we understand, Pella, is what the 100 is doing compared to the 40. So the results, the impact, if you could plan so strategically that we can feel the difference, that when there were 40 last day, it is the 100, you know, there's impact, there is some movement within the department. If there is 140, even when you leave 200, 500, we don't see the difference. We'll start asking ourselves, what is the difference of capacitating these people? Because things are still not moving. That is why we keep on asking, what's happening out there? Can we see a difference about? So my advice would be, when you report, make sure that you take that along, just to give us the impact of all this that we are doing in the country, all this convention that you're compiling on, but ultimately how do they benefit children, so that we can compare and contrast to it. At least, yeah, and if there's a problem, we don't say there won't be a problem. If there's a problem, we should be able to check why is it that the violation of children's rights have gone up? Why is there so much violence on children this year? Unless we have that analysis, we're working in the dark because we don't know whether things are improving or not improving. And if they are not improving, what are the reasons? And therefore, we can't solve the challenges, we can't solve the problem because we don't know what's the root cause of that problem. So just that short report now and then does help. The last point, Chair. The last point is, you see, if you go to local government, tiers of government, province and national, and ask about disability, say employment equity, if they haven't met the quota, 2%, or they are far below, they are by far so far away that they embarrass themselves, they're not going to tell you. They'll delay the report instead. So the question is ultimately, how do you get the report? And that's why we're suggesting maybe through other, because we keep on getting the reports from other sources, from other research institutions, including universities, because they do a lot of research there. So I'm just saying, look at other alternatives, because if you're going to depend on these provinces, which are supposed to give good reports about what they are doing about employment and so on, and if they haven't done, because we know they are lagging by far behind, and I don't think they feel at ease to report that, you're not going to get it. You'll wait forever. So the best thing is to look to other research institutions. That is it, Chair. Oh, no, there was the last point. I'm very, very sorry, Chair. And the last point I wanted to mention is maybe you should also adopt this attitude that with tiers of government, local government, city manager, on his performance management scorecard, one objective must be how are they performing about women, about disability. And throughout social welfare, it would be in provinces and local government, it should be about women, children, and disability. May put it on their performance so that they are compelled by that system to report and tell what they've done. So I'm just saying maybe it should go on their performance management system.
Thank you very much. Actually, Honorable Kekana has covered almost everything that I actually wanted to report on. I think there is light at the end of the tunnel with disability. But I'm worried that, you know, we do have that draft report that we've spoken to, but now we have gaps because people are not submitting, especially local government. And I wonder, as Honorable Kekan has already alluded to PDMS, but what is it that the department, I'm talking about this department now, has in terms of compelling, you know, the other departments to actually comply? Because without that information, the report is actually not complete. It's not the overall picture of exactly what is happening in our country. It doesn't represent our country at all. So, yeah, actually my worries is around that, to say, what is it that the department can do, you know, in terms of compelling? Do we have any powers? Because we cannot have other departments impacting on your role as a department in terms of monitoring, evaluation, getting the information, and submitting or depositing to the UN. So, yeah, do you have any alternatives in terms of these gaps? Because we need to fill, and I'm worried about on slide, I think, 11, you've got dates there and we've got gaps. I'm not sure. How are you planning to push, you know, to get the information so that we close the gaps and we meet the dates that we have put? Because, you know, time is money. It runs very fast. The 3rd of December is actually, you know, a few days to come. So, you know, I'm worried because in terms of the history, what happens with the children conventions, the delay so many years, we'll have these dates, but we might not meet them, not because you don't want to or you're not working out, but other departments impact on you. So, yeah, what are your powers in terms of compelling them? Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Well, I just want to quickly outline, just very briefly, the roadmap. Thank you very much, Honorable Kekana. We will definitely, at the chair's invitation, respond to the analysis and the comparison and the impact that we are making. And we agree with you that as the department grows, there needs to be some element of indications that people are beginning to actually understand. But I also want to add to say that it's not only the individuals in the department, it's also the whole country understanding the mandate of the department and why we were established to do that. And as that sinks in, and as ministers also and deputy ministers, premiers and MECs interpret what the department's role is, it will give us better results. With regards to the issue of the performances of municipal managers, I can confirm that we are already doing that. And not only municipal managers, but also DGs as well. And we are trying to get myself and the minister are working very hard, supported by our department technical teams, to try and also see, as the ministerial performance contracts are going under review, to what extent do we build in the issues of the sectors we represent into the performance contracts of ministers and deputy ministers. So we're working on that. But with regards to the administrative aspect, and mayors and premiers, by the way, with regards to the administrative, the DGs and the municipal managers and the provincial DGs and the HODs, that is being done. With regards to what progress are we making, I can confirm that, for instance, one of the things that we picked up, it's also that the issue of disability rights remains a big challenge. In the past, people have been comfortable to dealing with disabled people as helpless victims, welfare, charity cases. So the mindset for people now to begin to talk about disability rights, even at an official level, it's also a challenge, even at a political level, by politicians as well, to begin to see disabled people as equals and to see them and to talk about their issues outside of the disability grant and the shelter, but also employment, economic activity, all of those that everybody else gets. It's also a gap. That's why we requested the UN to run the workshop to actually assist people to get out of that mode. What is the roadmap that we have in mind? Yes, it's true. We are looking at alternative research information, and I need to say that internationally, there's very limited disability research because it's not an area that everybody was worrying themselves about. So there's very limited research in the area of disability, but we are using that research. That's the first thing. The second thing is we are in the process. We're workshopping provinces. We've workshopped the province of the Western Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga. We're workshopping Northern Cape. We're workshopping the premiers and their executives on disability. So we're running workshops with the whole executives and the HODs, and that is paying off results because they are now beginning to understand disability issues and they are beginning to integrate disability planning. And we will be workshopping. We're just waiting for the others to finalize the dates. And it's paying off because then they are able to interpret disability rights. So we have workshopped honorable a member. We've workshopped the departments on the, what was it, for, is it 15 and 16? On the 15th and 16th of May, we've workshopped as part of getting information out of the departments as well, in terms of what compels, what instruments. We've had all the departments, we were sitting at 400 people, between 250 and 400, where we brought all the national government departments together and assisted them. And since that, we are beginning to get the information. But also we've got a schedule where we're doing a one-on-one. We've sat with, for instance, sports and recreation, where we are assisting them to actually understand disability language of the convention. So we're using that one-on-one to get the information, and we've scheduled the remaining. But we also, what we are doing is we also, because we know that a lot of government department funds, a lot of disability services are not necessarily done by government departments themselves. They fund NGOs, and I would like just Lydia to go as an example to one of we've sent out a questionnaire which we developed, and we've sent it to all the NGOs that provide disability services and asked them very specific questions. That's the the example, Chair, of what we did. That comes from the Quadriplegic Association of South Africa. That's the questionnaire we sent to them that asked them very specific UN-related questions that are on the convention, and they need to fill in all of that in terms of what work have they done with government, what was government funding them for, how much have they been funded, what was the impact, how many people, which is the information that must go into the report, and we are beginning to get the response. So we're using every opportunity that we get. We did a cabinet memo as well, just to in-cabinet alert ministers to say, dear ministers, the reports and your departments have not responded. Since we started that, the ministers are pushing their own officials because it's not nice for your department to be listed in a cap memo of not having. We're using that avenue as well to be able to use that. But what we've also committed ourselves, Chair, is that the Disability Convention prescribes how the report must be compiled. There's a lot of consultation that it's actually very prescriptive on Article 34. So we felt that instead of the whole country being late, we will put everything, and actually all the officials in the disability unit are focusing in making inputs into the country report and chasing after everybody else and investing a lot of time. We've set cut-off times in terms of chasing. So we'll chase and chase until this particular time. We'll compile and we'll make sure that the report goes through the processes. And we are hoping that if by the mid-June that we have said, Chairperson, the 15th of June, there will still be departments that have not responded, we will come to yourselves. It's in our roadmap. We will come to yourselves and request you that when you engage with the report, you actually call there's outstanding departments to come and report to Parliament. Maybe they will respond better and on time. So we're hoping that we're giving them up to the 15th of June, and all of those that have not submitted by the 15th of June, we will submit the list to the Portfolio Committee, and we know maybe they will respond to Parliament better, and you can, we hope, be able to accommodate them in your program, call them, so that you can get out of them the information which we can then access and be able to put into the country report and still meet. That's why we said 15th of June, and by the end of June, it's the 2 weeks just to compile, submit it to cabinet. So for at the moment, we still have faith in meeting the deadlines because we have a very well-developed roadmap. If you would allow me, Chairperson, I also just want to know if there are no further questions, Chair. Should I conclude or give you an opportunity?
I think this is a
I don't want to follow up on the issue of, I'm surprised you're saying there's no research international. I'm surprised because there has been, you remember the World Council for the Blind, that even our own local guy, Dr. William Roland, the one became a president of it, especially after Mandela took over. I mean, there are these international organizations for the then the teller, remember I read the report that was saying disability is increasing because conditions of stress, conditions of the food we eat, just from that environment of cars, accidents, the lifestyle we live in itself is conducive for disability to increase. Therefore, it's an issue that needs to be addressed by all nations. So I get surprised when you're saying under-analyzed internationally, because when these organizations are there, I thought the purpose. And in fact, before Chair closes, I'd like to hear the DG's opinion also, because though you are leading, but I think it's also nice to hear these other people's voices, so that you can, you know, write them.
I'm still in the chair, and then I think I'll decide who speaks and who doesn't speak. Honourable Mona?
Okay. Deputy Minister, I'm not sure if it's possible, because we're talking about the date of the 15th for the other departments or whoever to submit. If you can maybe email to the committee the outstanding departments so that we are able to plan. We don't just receive things on the 15th and we can't do anything, because now the last 2 weeks of the, from the 15th to the 30th, you must consolidate. So if it's possible, can we get some indication in terms of, I mean, who hasn't submitted what, blah, blah, blah? Because, yeah, then we will be able to assist.
Deputy Minister, I think the last one is valid, because we are engaging with the department, so it will also assist us.
Thank you very much, Chair. The list of outstanding departments we've provided in the slides, those that have submitted, we'll provide tomorrow a detailed list, maybe of those that might have submitted today or tomorrow, but we will submit the list before the end of business tomorrow. So that commitment I can make. Yes, the area of disability is under researched. Not necessarily that there's no information, Honourable Kekan, but it's all medically orientated. It's all social, it's all helpless, victim kind of. It's very, very limited in terms of the rights of people with disabilities, but also disability as a developmental and as a social issue. What is exists in terms of it's more the medical confirmations. And then also the challenge is that the research that exists in terms of the rights of people with disabilities, it's done by like you say, in the World Blind Union or the Disabled People International, where it's disabled people themselves actually sharing their own experiences. And that is what we are using in terms of, so there's the area broadly as disability, there's very limited research on disability. Unlike when you go into children, you can find anything and everything about children, but not a lot of research base is available in terms of the context of the convention, but also in terms of where disabled people are moving now. So also the scientific evidence based, you know, what researchers will tell you is that qualitative, the research that's there is more qualitative, not quantitative. So it also poses a challenge from a policy perspective in terms of policy impact. So yes, the area is researched, but it's very limited, and also that it's more medical than rights-based, and that the organizations of disabled people and disabled people themselves tend to. But we are, as South Africa, contributing actually a bit to disability research internationally from a rights perspective. Chairperson, are you connected? Okay. Chairperson, with your permission, I just want to also leave with some of the campaigns, as you would be aware, and Datekekana have indicated about our lifestyles and everything else. We just want to also share, because disability is quite broad, and there's dementia, the current campaign that is running. I felt that it's a very powerful closure for disability rights, and I felt that we need to close with that. This is a campaign that educates, because then that educates people about dementia, which all of us are at the risk of having as we grow older. And we thought that it's also an area that falls under disability, but it's not necessarily understood. And this is one of the campaigns I felt that it's a very powerful campaign. It's Facebook linked, unfortunately, or fortunately, because we targeting all of us. And we will use Lydia Pretorius as a Facebook as a guinea pig, just to show how it works to all the members. And when one person receives it on the social network, they are able to share it with all their friends, and that's how the way it is spread. It's IT based. Let me also say thank you so much, Honorable Kekana, for wanting to give me a break. We agreed that I'll give all of them a break because they are here every week without me. And that is the only reason is that since I am here, I'll give them a break because I'm not here most of the time. They are here on their own. So it was a very detailed discussion. And I did say where I feel the committee is asking me questions beyond me, I will request them to add. So, Chair, before we play, maybe there might be any additions, if the Chair permits, that the team feels they would want to add. And we can then go into the campaign that's running. Anybody that wants to add anything, Team DPW? Nobody? Why am I saying DPW? I'm still at Public Works. My apologies. Looks like Chair, they... Okay, yes, they...
Okay.
Go ahead, Rose.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, members. Just two comments. The one is that since the M&E department within children has been established, in fact, from July last year, there was a cabinet memo and a cabinet submission made to cabinet where both the 2002 and 2007 reports, and I will leave the copies with the chairperson today, of the 2002 and 2007 UNCRC reports. Minister Shingwana submitted those to Cabinet, so we will leave those here. We also have sent through our secretariat electronic drafts of those reports. That's just for your information. In terms of we have, as indicated, received permission to consolidate the reports for the submission in 2013. The 2002 and 2007 reports have been agreed to be annexures to those processes. We've included that now in the package for consultation. We've engaged with both government departments thus far, as well as the civil society. And I just wanted to stress that we are working with civil society quite closely for the 2013 report.
Monitoring and Liz. Thank you, Chair. Without really wasting more time, Chair, we really want to appreciate the fact that the committee is very clear in terms of what we need to do, and the Deputy Minister would actually make sure that through us, all of those issues that we highlighted today are submitted to the committee, you know, with regards to the list of the outstanding departments. I would really want to appreciate, you know, the kind of frankness and the directive that we get from the committee and the support thereof. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chair. Just before you play, we will be hosting, and we have sent the invitation to the committee on the 1st of June, International Children's Day, which the focus will be on the rights of persons of children with disabilities. The event will be held at Philadelphia Secondary School, and members will remember that's the school that earned itself the name of the School of Shame, where more than 100 children with disabilities were sexually abused by teachers and the security guards and the cook and everybody else. And we're hosting that in the background of the 16th of June being declared the day of the African child, and in South Africa it falls within our youth day. So this year the African community is focusing on the rights of children with disabilities under the theme Promote, Protect and Fulfill. So we will be having that activity on Friday, where we are following up on what the Department of Education have done to ensure that such a gruesome act does not happen to children with disabilities in residential facilities ever again, and we hope the committee will be in a position to join us, even if it's not the whole complementary, that you are able to get the report back from the school and the department and the governing body, and we'll have a private closed dialogue with the children as well, besides without the teachers, so that we can hear what the issues it is that the children have. And with that, Chair, I just wanted us to go to the campaign on dementia.
Deputy Minister, Honourable Chair, if I can just give some background to how we got to it. Part of what we're trying to do within the constraints that we face is to try and get the word out there on what we are doing, what disability issues are, to as many people as we can. So anybody that makes contact with the department goes onto a mailing list. And then we, on a weekly basis, send emails out with regards to developments in the disability sector, issues that are impacting on the status of disabled people. And similarly, our sectors share information with us, because these emails go out to the private sector, go to the international community, to the disability sector. So there's an exchange of information all the time happening, trying to get more people on board. And part of this is because if things are not in your face all the time, you tend to ignore when it actually does come to the front. So this is what we've received from Dementia South Africa, which is an organization that campaigns for the rights of people with Alzheimer's, with dementia, because they are so incredibly vulnerable to abuse because they can't remember. That, for example, asked us to now include them in the 16 Days campaign and really start highlighting. And we tend to think dementia is only for old people, but we're increasingly having younger people that are really under the effects of dementia, with the whole impact of HIV/AIDS, etc. I'm going to try and work it, because the sound is quite important, so bear with me. I'm going to try and get it actually to work, and then I'll share a bit of my life with you, because it's on my Facebook, as the Deputy Minister has said. Let us get it going. Yeah, it's going. Why didn't it link to him?
It will speak. No.
It didn't go. Let me just go to the other one.
Then we invisible.
It didn't go to the automatic.
The Deputy Minister, I would like to know if bipolar is it classified under disability as well. Bipolar.
Well, to an extent, let me just say, Chair, there's two things the committee should use as an immediate trying to establish whether that constitutes. People with bipolar forms part of the mental, right? The mental disabilities. So each disability has a whole cluster. If you talk about visual impairment, you're talking about Danny being totally blind, Henrietta being partially sighted. But within that, there's glaucoma, there's retina, there is a congenital, which there is the diseases, the impairment that leads to the blindness. So as you deal with visual impairment, from time to time you'll get all these lists, glaucoma, congenital cataract, all of the impairments that leads to the blindness. So, and then you get to mental disabilities, you'll get a long list, and bipolar is one of that list that falls under. Then you'll get to intellectual disabilities, you'll get your autism, you get Down syndrome, you get your
emotional.
No, there isn't such a thing as emotional disabilities. No, it's psychosocial. That's why we're saying we are assisting, because they don't even know where they got that definition from. But there's no such thing as emotional disability. It's
where you can confirm your
now we're having
okay. No, it's psychosocial. It's all psychological related, Honorable Kekan. But it's all of those, Chair. And then there's also, over and above that, the immediate layman's immediate is that you can also use to weigh. If you take medication for it, it borders along disability and chronic illness. And then
because disability, you're not sick, you're not supposed to take medication for your disability. But there is impairments within the disability spectrum that requires control through medication. So you separate that, because that then becomes chronic illness. And then, so that's how. So if you take medication for it, it falls more under chronic illness as it would under disability. But the circle that you go through in terms of discrimination and that you experience is the same. It's the same as gay people. They go through the same circle of discrimination that disabled people go through, or people living with HIV. So they will fall under the same discrimination cycle. And so there's three that you would use to actually come to a conclusion. What constitutes disability and what doesn't, and how do you get the fine line between chronic illness and disabilities? Thank you very much, Chair.
What was your response regarding Member Ketana's one emotional disability?
Oh, no, I said that it falls under the psychosocial. There isn't such a thing as emotional, because it falls under the broader aspect of mental disabilities. So we must understand that when you can't control your temper, then there is schizophrenic, there's catatonic, there's what's the one where it says plus nine, where we kept it? There's obsessive behavior. All of those falls under mental disabilities. That's why we say there's no such thing as emotional disability. And those are some of the responsibilities the department has, to educate people on the correct classification, but also on the correct use of language. Hence, we're saying when you take, and there's abrasive, there's psychiatric, there is there's all of these, what we call the mental spectrum of disabilities, Chairperson. That was my, so there's no such thing as emotional disability.
No, Chair, the point the minister that I'm making is that
definitions are always a problem. People differ with definitions.
Yes.
Because they're with mental, they only, I think they try and capture the essence. They only say intellectual and emotional disability. So I'm just saying, you know that in all disciplines, especially in academic terms, definitions will always be a big problem. People will differ. This one will say there's no such, and another one will say yours, there's no such. So let's leave the academic dispute of definition and just accept that mental disabilities have different categories.
Yes, no. We are in agreement, Chair. That is why.
Reserve that for another
day. Thank
another
you so much. Yeah, we'll have an mkhabulo in the study group. That's why we spent 3 years without the disability definition. We connected now, Chair. We can go.
No, we are in business now.
The problem is you can't stop it once it goes, so we can't get it going.
There it goes.
Yes, I can't even connect to Facebook. Now we are in business.
Hey, can you take a little bit of money?
Chairperson, the name of the campaign is Remember Me.
Remember Me Not,
actually. That's the campaign, and everybody's on Facebook, looks like.
That's
another few seconds. Remember Me Not.
Thank you.
brain doesn't want to work. And I really do want members to see it. That way,
my computer, sorry, Chairperson, I think the computer forgot where it went last night. It's part of dementia.
It's just say 2 minutes by the way. It's actually less than 2 minutes. It's a 1 minute very powerful clip.
Oh, it's getting there.
It's at 35 now.
It's dementia this morning. You know, that's the thing. You wake up, you can't even remember your own name. And then it says you can't cure dementia, but you can understand it. That's the concluding.
Thank you so much.
Dementia.
Thank you very much. Let me also extend our thanks to the department. I think this was a very rich and fruitful engagement, and we hope that you know some of the undertakings will see them realized. For instance, meeting the deadline. In future, we will be able to avoid that, and we have learned a lot, some of us as deputy ministers.
and to the fact that it is important that this department works in partnership, you know, with other stakeholders. With regards to the invitation, I think we'll have to look at our program, and then we will act upon that and inform our program. I just want to say that I think we should really find or strengthen, you know, the provinces, because I'm not sure as to what extent are the provinces being assisted. And I must say that, Deputy Minister, the more we seek information, it's because we want to use it, you know, when we do our oversight. Because if we don't have that information, we won't be able to do our oversight. I must also mention the importance of the finalizing of this MNE, you know, a framework and tools for mainstreaming. It's of vital importance, and we hope that, you know, you will soon be able to, you'll finalize that as soon as you can. Yeah, I think regarding the invitation, we did receive your invitation, but as you know that, you know, the 1st of June, there are so many activities. The committee will split. We won't be able, all of us, you know, to honor the invitation. The committee, some of the members will be attending to the oversight on the, you know, the farming and the living. I mean the dwellers and the farm people who work in the farms. It's a joint oversight in Parliament, so we have it's of importance to this committee. I must say, you know, on a last lighter note, to say that I hope departments really comply, so that you don't invest a lot of your time running after the departments. We hope in future they will be able to comply so as to avoid it. I think we have come to the end of our meeting, and thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you very much.